Wednesday, March 25th, 2009. You're listening to the Brain Labor Report.
We've got a war zone here today, right in our heartland. And across the USA, these multinational bastards don't use tanks and guns, it's true. But they've declared a war on us. Fight back, it's up to you. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. Going to work could be the death of you and me, but we're not unarmed. Our weapon solidarity, Jim Beals and Karen Silkwood, the list goes on and on. With every year that passes, 60,000 more gone. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. When they boost your copay,
war on the workers.
Don't you know what to say?
War on the workers.
When they talk privatization,
war on the workers.
And cooperation,
war on the workers.
When they call you a team,
war on the workers.
You better learn how to scream.
War on the workers.
Oh, that's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. They can lock us out, they can lock us up, we cannot give in. No more lies, no compromise, we'll battle till we win. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. When they talk flexibility,
war on the workers.
Every worker stiff can see.
War on the workers.
Now when they poison your water,
war on the workers.
Don't go like lambs to the slaughter.
War on the workers.
And when they foul up the air,
war on the workers.
You gotta show that you care.
War on the workers.
When they talk WTO,
war on the workers.
You best be screaming hell no.
War on the workers.
Oh, that's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, education, it's a war on child labor protection, it's a war on the 8-hour day, it's a war on occupational health and safety, it's a war on social security. Now thanks to WTO, GATT, NAFTA, MAI, the IMF and the World Bank, it's a worldwide war. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Yeah, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time, sisters and brothers, you know it's time right now. I said it's time we started calling the shots.
That's right. It's about time we started calling the shots. That's Ann Feeney. She starts off every edition of the Brain Labor Report with War on the Workers. This is the Brain Labor Report. This is Wes Brain. I'm host of the show.
This is Jason Houck. I'm the engineer.
And coming to you on Wednesday, March 25th, 2009. And by gosh, the Brain Labor Report is about the struggles of ordinary working people. There's a lot to talk about these days. Our half-hour show probably could be longer, but we are with you every morning at 7 a.m. on the Pacific Coast. A lot easier getting guests from the East Coast. It's 10 o'clock. They're already awake there. You listen to us at 94.9 FM here in Ashland, Oregon. We stream over the internet at www.kskq.org. And by gosh, we play labor songs. We talk about all the issues of ordinary working people, the struggles they have. The American dream is falling away for so many people. You know, used to be get up work, get up early, put your boots on, go to work. My gosh, you could reasonably think about raising a family, buying a house someday, sending your kids to college. I'm telling you, a lot of people now get up in the morning and say, I'm just glad to have a job. And in fact, they go to a job that does not pay a working wage. They qualify for food stamps. They qualify for, well, the poverty that we have in this country. It is a national disgrace. That's the kind of thing we talk about on the Brain Labor Report. Always near the top of our half-hour show, we bring you Workers Independent News. 3 minutes of cutting-edge news out of Madison, Wisconsin. So for Wednesday, March 25th, 2009, here is the Workers Independent News.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. As a contract between workers represented by the Communications Workers of America and AT&T heads for expiration on April 4th, little progress is being made at the bargaining table. On Monday, the workers gave the CWA Bargaining Committee the power to call a strike if the company fails to accept a quality contract. 88% of the 125,000 workers represented by the union approved that strike option. Any action, though, needs to be approved by the CWA Executive Committee. The battle between Canadian auto workers and Chrysler continues to heat up. Jesse Russell reports.
With Chrysler placing the threat of pulling out of Canada on the table, talks continued Tuesday between the U.S. car company and the union representing workers. The Canadian auto workers recently reached a deal with General Motors that would save the company $1 billion in pension and health care payments. The CAW wants Chrysler to stick to that deal, but Chrysler is demanding more givebacks from workers. The company told a parliamentary committee it would shutter Canadian production plants if the country doesn't offer aid and the auto workers don't offer further concessions.
Unionized firms do not fail at any higher rates than non-union firms.
Economic Policy Institute economist Josh Bivens. Bivens says economic research is clear. Increased unionization does not hurt employment or the economy.
The state-of-the-art academic research examining the causal effect of unionization on what happens to firms, and it finds out that there is no causal effect. They do not go out of business or grow more slowly in terms of employment than their non-union peers.
A new report from the University of Michigan's John DiNardo clearly debunks the big business argument that more unionization causes more unemployment or more frequent business failures.
Essentially, this research really puts the lie to some overblown claims made by those opposed to the Employee Free Choice Act regarding opposing unionization on the alleged grounds that unions increase unemployment.
In fact, Bivens says unions can be good for the economy, in part because they reduce economic inequality. United Steelworkers President Leo Girard testified Tuesday before the U.S. House Trade Subcommittee and called for a national commitment to rebuild America clean and green. Girard says climate change is the challenge of our generation and America must lead the effort. Girard says the development of green manufacturing should be the centerpiece of the U.S. effort.
Here is today's economic report. According to a new study, nearly 1 in 5 U.S. workers are uninsured. That's an increase from fewer than 1 in 7 since the mid-1990s. The numbers come from a new report by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, which discovered that 26.9 million workers were uninsured by the middle of the current decade. That's up 6 million from the mid-1990s, when the number was 20.7 million.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
And you're listening to the Brain Labor Report. Here's our plan this morning. We are going to have an in-studio guest. Mr. Max Schrader is going to be with us, and Barefoot Motors, we will ask him about the name of it. And by gosh, this is an electric car company right here in Ashland, Oregon. We're going to find out about that and discuss that. And what's that got to do? Can we make a connection with working people? I'll bet you we can come up with that. Okay, that's our plan. We'll have Max here in the studio in just a couple of minutes. But an introduction for that is a song we chose this morning. Woody Guthrie sings a song called... What's the car song? Let's play that right now. Here we go.
Take me riding in the car, car. Take me riding in the car, car. Take you riding in my car, car. I'll take you riding in my car. Click, clank, open up a door, girls. Click, clank, open up a door, boys. Front door, back door, clickety, clack. Take you riding in my car. Climb rattle on the front seat. It's free ice rattle on the back seat. Turn my key, step on the starter, take you riding in my car. Engine, it goes drrrr, engine, it goes drrrr. Front seat, back seat, boys and girls, take you riding in my car. Trees in the houses walk along, trees in the houses walk along. Truck in a cart in a garbage can, I'll take you riding in my car. Ships and little boats chug along, ships and little boats chug along. Take you riding in my car. I'm gonna zoom you home again, I'm gonna zoom you home again. Roll home, take you riding in my car. I'm gonna let you blow the horn, I'm gonna let you blow the horn. Well, I'll take you riding in my car.
Okay, the car song and Woody Guthrie. By gosh, that's one of thousands of songs from Woody Guthrie, and that's a fun one. That's a good introduction to our guest today, Mr. Max Schrader. Thanks for being our guest on the Brain Labor Report.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, well, I know that you happen to be here. Jason helped organize getting you in here. Your newest employee is joining us today, Lucinda. Employee, employer, what are you up to? Max, please tell us a little bit about yourself and your new venture here in Ashland, okay?
Sure. Barefoot Motors, we're about putting electric vehicles together, and we're focusing on off-road electric vehicles because we can get the technology that's available today on the road much more quickly than if we focused on cars.
You walked in a little earlier. I said SUV, but we mean ATV,
all-terrain
vehicles. Okay.
And we call them actually earth utility vehicles.
I see.
They're heavy-duty ATVs, comparable to a 500, 800cc gasoline ATV.
Okay.
So they tow 1,100 pounds. They can take a payload of 800 pounds, but without the noise, without the pollution, and without the vibration. And they're primarily geared for ag and agriculture and land managers, for workers in the field, for our rangers and the like that.
Well, I want to delve into that in a minute. I want to ask you about the industry in and of itself. I know for years and years and years, maybe still, the biggest drawback for vehicles has got to do with batteries, developing better batteries that will last longer, hold a charge longer, and not end up in a landfill. But what's the state of the battery development now?
Batteries have come a long way. Most cars, you know, are focused on lead acid, and then there's nickel metal hydrate, which went into the Priuses and vehicles like that. We're using a new chemistry, and we can use the newest chemistry because we don't have to go through 2-3 years of crash testing like the cars do. And we're using something called lithium iron phosphate. And that provides our vehicle up to a 50-mile range as an ATV, which is totally sufficient for most ag applications. If you think about ag, it's what we call an island environment, 500, 1,000 acres. So you're not going out 300 miles like you would in a car and want to charge up for 5-10 minutes. But on a farm, you're always dilly-dallying up and down, and 3 to 8 hours of work time, continuous work time, is fine for most farmers.
Work you're talking about, agricultural vehicles, certainly these would be used by recreational folks too, if I got it right. But there is a niche, I think, that you're working on to sell this vehicle. We've got a lot. We used to have a lot of orchards in southern Oregon. By gosh, they've been pulling them out for years and putting in houses. But they're also putting in vineyards. And it's an up-and-coming, still growing industry here. If I had a vineyard, would this be the vehicle for me, and why? Tell me about it.
It's perfect. You can take your sprayer up and down the vineyards, and you can use them for maintaining your property. There's a lot of great examples. For example, we have one vineyard manager who's tested our vehicles. She'd go out into the fields, and these are really loud devices, so she couldn't hear, and she couldn't be taking her phone calls. Now, with our vehicle, she goes out, she's on her Bluetooth Bluetooth, and instead of coming in at 6 o'clock at night and having 3 or 4 hours of phone calls in the evening, she's taking the calls during the day. A lot of time saving. Or she has one of her gentlemen, they walk the fields to listen for irrigation leaks. You can't do that on an ATV or a motorized vehicle. On ours, she gets a person to do 1 week's of work in one day by riding our ATV up and down the vineyards, listening to the irrigation leak. So lots of little things like that. And anything you would be using an ATV for, anything you'd be using a horse for, anything you'd be using a pickup truck for off-road on your property, our vehicle's perfectly suited for that.
Max, how did you get into this? You didn't grow up in a car. You didn't grow up in Detroit, did you? How'd you get into this?
It was pretty simple. I was involved with a car company. Everyone was focused on the glamorous side of it, on road vehicles. Of course, it's glamorous to put a Tesla or a high-powered luxury car together. But I said, you know what? These guys are coming out with technology that's 2 or 3 years old. How do we get the latest technology? And the way you do that is you go around, you sidestep, if you will, the issue of crash testing. That's 2 or 3 years, $200 to $500 million. We don't have that amount of money. And it was all about getting the technology on the road. So we focused on off-road and said, wow, ATVs. There's 1 million ATVs sold a year, every year in the United States. ATVs, because they're not regulated, are 11 to 30 times more polluting than a car. So if you take one of your gas ATVs and buy one of our ATVs, you're taking 3 to 4 cars off the road. And to me, that was like, no brainer. Let's show the world electric vehicles are there, and this is a great way to do that.
Very interesting. Okay, well, that's the evolution. And for you, a little bit more about yourself. You weren't born in Detroit, were you?
No, I'm East Coast, sorry to say, and spent a lot of time in Europe, and then moved back here to the West Coast. And we actually started the business in Northern California, but given what we heard about what the state's doing, a lot of forward-thinking people up here, we moved the business in the fall to Ashland and our set up shop, have hired a half a dozen people, hopefully another half a dozen or two by the end of the year, and we're off and running.
And again, because if I got it right, this is not passenger vehicles, but it's off-road vehicles. That allowed you to, well, not do the crash testing and maybe other things too, but it gave you a quick pathway to be able to get your business up and running, which you're working on now.
Correct. So you come to us with a new motor, or you come to us with a new battery technology tomorrow,
yeah,
we will have it in use, actively in use, in the fields in 6 months. Whereas if you did that to one of the guys in Detroit, it's 3 to 4 years.
So the way you described a person who's maybe using that already now, you talked about the quietness and they can hear the leaks in the irrigation equipment. Someone is up and using this. They've purchased a vehicle. They're trying it. What do you see as the market out there? Is that we got those vineyards going in, replacing the orchards around here. Do you see those as potential customers for you?
Anyone who manages land. So even the orchard folks, even the state rangers, we've had some state parks talk to us because they can go clear the paths without affecting the people who are out there hiking, without affecting the wildlife. There's no noise. There's no gasoline leaking onto the trail. So those type of people. We have a dairy farmer who herds his cattle in the morning and in the evening using our ATV. He doesn't use the loud 100 decibels ATV that he used to use. So it's anyone who's in land management. Another great example, and we just to back up, we had started on ag. We figured specialty ag in Oregon and California, they're forward thinking, they'll try new vehicles. And we don't have to sell a lot of vehicles. There's 1 million ATVs. If we can do 1,000 or 2,000 ATVs a year with our vehicle, we're happy. That's fine. It's proving to the world that the technology is there.
Interesting stuff. Okay. Well, I was a snowmobiler more than thinking about my recreational outings and whatnot. And quite frankly, that's a filthy industry, too. I know that a lot of what do I know about two-cycle are really, really polluting.
34 times.
Okay. I know that's a big problem with motors and boats and stuff. People are concentrating on that. My gosh, they leave oil all over the lake. So there is a move in this country to move towards electric vehicles. In this case, we're talking about, work vehicles that would that are ATVs. Now, one thing, too. People cannot be... We can't whitewash, greenwash, that's what they call it. We can't totally greenwash electric because, quite frankly, if you look at the big picture, did you know that half of the electricity in the United States is generated by a dirty, horrible industry called coal, burning of coal. And in fact, at the same time that we're moving towards battery-operated vehicles, in your case, ATVs, there is a move to get away from dirty coal, by the way, dirty oil too. So I just thought I'd throw that out there that a lot of people, I use the word greenwash. The fact is that there are opportunities for batteries to be a lot better. Well, maybe we won't fight wars over them for one thing, but for that movement down the road. But I did want to put the disclaimer, half the juice in this country right now is created by burning that damn coal. The potential, isn't it, is to decrease that amount over time. That's the big picture for you, Max.
It's a great point, and I wish I could tell you that we have the perfect solution and that we're not burning coal or involved with that at all. But it's a step in the right direction. You've got to crawl before you walk, walk before you run. And our first theory is help reduce pollution. These are very polluting vehicles. One vehicle is like taking 3 to 4 cars off the road. And then, as you know, our vehicles are driven off of oil. All the oil that we import goes to drive the cars, and that's imported oil. 2/3 of what we use is imported oil. And if we can get away from that addiction, so people are using maybe other types of electricity, and you're absolutely right, it's coal. But it's easier to regulate coal at one smokestack than at 17 car pipes. And if we can get people, 1/4 of the roofs in the United States, to put solar on, we don't need coal. That's all you need to do in the United States.
Well, I think we need to change some of our habits, too, along the way, and maybe lose a little weight and walk a little more, Max. But you know something else that strikes me as we're chatting about your venture here is another thing, because agricultural is the use you're talking about. There's another movement afoot right now that's about locally producing our food, organic gardening. It makes a lot of sense to me. Why spend money for a tomato that comes from over the border if we can grow it here, be it in hothouses off season? There's all kinds of – wait a minute. This is happening. I know it is. We got a local growers market that is fantastic here. It's expanding, and they're doing some of the same in Medford. I'm trying to make the connection with you, Max, here that it sounds like a perfect fit to me. There is a grassroots movement to grow our own food locally. This sounds like a perfect match, Max. What do you think?
No, that's I'm glad you team me up very nicely there. Our vehicle is not really ideally suited for the huge farms in the Midwest. It's really for the
hog farmers in Iowa. Probably wouldn't be using it.
You know, actually, to get through the mud and shit that they need to get to, maybe yes. But
okay.
The corn farm, you know, the 10,000 acre type of farms. That's not where we're more about the 500 to 1500 acre. Local. And talking about local, we are trying to prove, another thing we're trying to prove with our company is we can go back to manufacturing in the United States, assembling in the United States. All our components but one are coming from the United States. So that for us is another sort of thing that we're trying to promote, and a lot of it's coming from Oregon. Oregon's really well positioned. They've got they have other vehicle manufacturers, so they have the supply chain. They have OIT, SOU, so they have the labor, well-knowledge labor force, and then they have local people who realize how important it is to sort of think differently.
won't get, that's great hearing that, and won't get too much into this, delve into this right now, but we're associated, well, I'm associated with the Southern Oregon Jobs with Justice, and we work with the Oregon Fair Trade Campaign. To look global here for a minute, we're working on the trade issues. We want to see NAFTA rewritten. We want to see labor laws, trade agreements made that will work for workers in this country, work for the environment, and in fact, in other countries too. So just taking off on what you were saying, I'll bet you the Oregon Fair Trade Campaign would be very glad. In fact, I'm going to tell them about the project that you're working on here, because we can manufacture steel in this country, and by gosh, we don't have to have everything made overseas. And you know, all that crap that comes back and is sold at Walmart, it ends up in the landfill. It breaks in 2 weeks anyway. Okay. Sorry, I had to talk about that. This is an infomercial for your company. This is a non-commercial radio station. Folks, if you're joining us a little late, this is KSKQ 94.9 FM. You're listening to the Brain Labor Report. Our in-studio guest is Max Shader this morning, telling us about his venture with ATVs. They are battery-operated. What's the name of your company again, please?
Barefoot Motors.
Okay. Now, are you building a website for that?
We have a website, www.barefootmotors.com.
Okay.
And you can get a lot of information on who we are and what we're trying to accomplish.
Now, this is radio, not TV. I know you brought a vehicle over. If it was TV, we'd have the camera on it right now. It's radio. If I open the door and ask you to crank it up so we could hear it, we wouldn't hear much, would we?
You wouldn't hear it at all.
Okay. There is a vehicle outside here. Max got her over here this morning to show us. We're going to take a look here at the end of the show. Okay, we've got about 4 minutes left, and by gosh, you are hiring employees. Came in with you. Was Lucinda is going to be working with you here with your company?
That's correct.
Okay. And what do you look for down the road? You're going to be hiring more folks, going to be selling more vehicles, we hope.
Yeah, so right now we've built 3 pilot vehicles. We've had sort of 4 or 5 generations of prototypes that we've had out in the field people are using, and we expect to deliver our first vehicles in June, July of this year. And for that, we'll need to obviously staff up on the assembly side, and then also on the sales side as the year progresses.
Very interesting. Well, the bulk of agriculture, as I know it, in Oregon is up in the Willamette Valley, although it's all around us. You know, I grew up in Klamath Falls, and that's potato farms over there just south of Klamath Falls. And so we got a full state that possibly all points of it might be interested in the work that you're doing in your vehicle. Any thoughts on that? We're running out of time. Just 3 minutes left to go. Okay, it's infomercial time. Let's hear the infomercial one more time for your company, please.
Yeah, no worries. I mean, in agriculture in Oregon, there's 36,000 farms here, and on average, they have 4 ATVs, so that's 120. And if you take them all off, that's like taking 500,000 cars off of your roads here in Oregon. Our vehicle is a little bit more expensive than the gas ATV, about 20%, but the state with the Betsy program gives you a credit that almost takes all of that back. So we're almost on par, and besides, you save $5,000 or $6,000 during the 10,000 miles that you drive on fuel and maintenance.
Okay. Briefly, you said the Betsy program, that's a state...
Business energy tax credit that the state in Oregon has.
Very good. Yeah. You know, we'll see what happens down the road. There may be more of those Betsy programs. You know, as we moved away from oil and towards electric vehicles, well, I expect we'll see more of that, don't you think?
I actually was up in Salem last week, and they were pretty open and enthusiastic and understanding of what we're trying to do.
Okay. Our state representative, Peter Buckley, does he have an open ear to the work you're doing?
He does, and he has an invitation when he comes down this summer to visit us.
Okay. Well, we have a very open representative. I used to corner him at the dog park, and that's a good place to talk to Peter Buckley. But it's wonderful having a representative who listens to you from wherever you're at. Okay, about a minute and a half left to go. Max Shader, S-C-H... E-D-E-R.
That's correct.
I said it correct.
You're very good.
I wrote it down, Max, and that's how I could do that. And, well, welcome to Southern Oregon. good luck with your new venture here, and we wish you the best. We're going to be watching what's going on. Come back, be a guest again on the Brain Labor Report. Tell us how things are going. Would you do that?
I would do that, and I'd love to have you guys down at our test track and trying to ride the ATV.
He said, trying to ride. He was looking at you, Jason. Jason, you get on the back. I'll give you a ride. How's that? Okay, folks. Well, we're winding her down today. Want to let you know that tomorrow's show, we're going to have Harry Dittwiller with us. He's going to be talking about Rogue Valley recovery. He's working with folks who are trying to get their lives back together so they can be part of the workforce. By gosh, on Friday, we are going to have Senator Dianne Rosenberg and Rosenbaum, by gosh, very wonderful labor senator, represents working people. We're going to be talking about some new legislation that might let mothers stay home with their newborns, which would be a pretty good use of a mother's time, as I recall. Okay, got to say goodbye now. Max, thanks for being our guest this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Folks, we're out of here. Be back again tomorrow. Bye-bye now.